Hello and welcome to episode 2 of the show. I'm your host, Endgamer, joined as always by my co-host, Mr. Yo Blazer.
Man, if you thought I was going to have a rant prepared on the busiest video game day of the year, well, then you're pretty stupid. But I'm still here. I'm still excited to talk about the bracket. And as usual, it's always a pleasure.
Yeah, just for context, we're recording this Monday night. We just had huge press conferences from Microsoft and Sony. Nintendo's is coming tomorrow morning. Joining with us tonight is the ultimate gaming expert. Despite his new status as complete alpha male, he's totally on top of things. One of our favorite guests of all time, X the.
I just got back from a threesome with two certifiable tens, but I'm here and ready and excited to talk about a video game character popularity contest on a message board.
Awesome. You got to know your roots. That's
yep,
all.
Yep. I'll never be able to leave.
All right. Well, we thought we were going to be coming back to you a little bit sooner than it ended up being. It was a 3-week break. I'm not sure if I agree with Bacon's decision to launch a new website in the middle of trying to launch a character contest. That did delay things a little bit. But the important thing is we're back. The bracket is up. And before anything else, let's just talk about the format, guys. Our largest contest ever, 248 characters. All the matches are going to be three ways. Only the top player will advance, and it's going to take something like 66 days to run. Just based on that, what do you think about the format, yo?
Well, actually, I'm kind of glad you brought this up. Before I do anything else, I do want to commend Bacon on the actual site redesign. Got to get some things to iron out, but overall, I actually like it, and I'm kind of surprised that I do, but I think it looks pretty snazzy. You
know? I don't mind. Oh, I don't mind the new site. I just think it's like too big. Like you look at your screen, and you only get like 4 posts at a time, and I appreciated the old compact look where you could get like 6 or 7 and not have to scroll so much. That's my only complaint. Other than that, it's okay. Mm.
Yeah, the new site is definitely Ridley-esque, and I am on the throwback mode until it no longer is available because I'm resistant to change.
Yeah, I'm rocking that cloudy blue color, and it's like really easy on the eyes. I kind of like it.
Well, yo, you being the Link fan, you would enjoy stuff being over the top fed deal like that. So. You know. There's one.
There's always one. Anyway, the format, 3 ways, right?
Yep.
I am actually kind of excited. I'm looking forward to it. There are a lot of, you know, even when we go just beyond the format, there are a lot of really brand new characters who I'd never even heard of before. I'm kind of excited to see what the new guys do. Excited to see how these SFF and LFF, which are acronyms that I believe we will get into later in this episode. You know, I'm excited to see how those situations kind of play themselves out. And yeah, if nothing else, man, we've got a new contest. All the board aid, you know, all the board aid little side contests are going to be going on. So I'm pretty pumped for it.
In general, I'm against 3 ways. Would rather keep it 1v1. But just as a one-time thing to shake things up, I'm fine with it. I'd much rather do this than go back to 4 ways for the 4th time. Mm-hmm. I guess if he really wanted more characters, I probably would have preferred to do something like mixed format, like we talked about last episode, like 4 people in each match at the start, but then only the winner gets out, and then it's 1v1 from there on, something more along those lines. But still, as a one-time thing, it has some problems, but I'm still looking forward to it. Still should be a pretty good bracket. Exta, do you agree?
At first I was like, especially when he made that cheeky post about, oh, we need to have 260 some characters. I was like, oh God, here we go. But, I'm surprisingly like really happy with the bracket. And, even though there's a lot of questionable placements in there, like just the idea that some matches could be completely different based on, you know, they get thrown out of the way, like there's LFF here, or there might not be if this character loses. So your third round pick has got to be influenced sometimes by like a first round match, and that's really different. It's difficult to make matches in this format where like there could be any winner, which I think would be really cool. Like, if we could have a match where, like, say there's three different lead changes, can you imagine how crazy that would be? I don't foresee it, but it would just be really cool. I don't know. It's something different. And like you said, there was no way we could go back to four ways again. So just if it had to be something different, then I think this is a good way to go.
Now, here's an idea that I had as a possible tweak to this contest that might spice things up. I'll run it by you guys. What if now the main bracket contest, of course, we're just going to pick the winner, just nice and simple. But what about if for the battle bracket, we'd have three options. You can either bank and not make a pick for that day, so then you're safe. You could pick the winner for extra points, or you can double your points by making a perfect pick. For instance, to say, in match one, I want to risk it all. Perfect pick, it's going to be Link, then Isaac, then Tingle as the 1-2-3. Yo, what do you think about that idea? Well, XO, you can start off.
Well, so basically, like, if you just wanted to pick Link to win, you could get 100 points. But if you wanted to pick all three, you'd get 200.
Yep.
Okay.
And then you could keep on doing that. It'd be super risky, but you would build up your bank twice as fast as someone who's just picking the winner. And again, this is just before the battle bracket, so it'd be only the more hardcore people who follow the contest a little more closely actually doing this. Yo, what do you think about that idea?
I think that is probably going to be the best idea that gets thrown around during the whole course of this show.
Whoa!
I think, yeah, I like it that much. I mean, you hit the nail right on the head. The battle bracket people are the hardcore contest folks. That was like, it was one of Bacon's, I guess, little bonus gifts to us over the past couple years. There haven't been many, but that was one of them. And, you know, the people like that are going to be into, you know, additional options and additional little, let's say, like gambling scenarios like that. So if you want to, you know, risk it all and be crazy, you know, you have additional avenues to do that in the battle bracket, which is, I think, more fun than just picking the winner.
And I think especially for the first round, that's going to be pretty insane. Just having to have an idea whether Juliet Starling or Tiny Tina is going to finish ahead of one another.
Yeah.
And like losing your 5,000 points that you had saved up and never banked on something like that. It's risky, but it could really pay off. I think that'd be fun. What do you think, Exa?
Well, not only would it be fun, and, you know, because we're a bunch of gamblers on Board 8 like that, but it suddenly makes those second and third place matches relevant and interesting and something for you to pay attention to and freak out about. Whereas, you know, before, there's a lot of irrelevance in those second and third things. And, you know, like Leonhard's topics, there's, like, inventing reasons to care about matches. Well, hey, suddenly if the battle bracket has that extra thing spiced into it, then, you know, well, a lot of people are going to care about second and third place then.
All right. So we are unanimous here. I'm going to run that by SB, and we will see what he thinks about it. One other message for SB. He's, of course, our number one fan. I just have to say, doing this for the character contest is different. It's fun. Okay. But for next year's 128 game contest, please just keep it 1v1. First couple rounds, 12-hour matches, then going to 24. So we get a few more of those full day matches because it would just be so much fun to see Resident Evil 4 go up against Super Metroid and not divide it by era, not have four different people going in at once or three different games at once and all this crazy stuff. Just 1v1. That'd be so cool. Yo, do you agree with me there?
Yeah, I completely agree. That contest is so overdue. Games contest with, you know, no retirees. You don't take out Final Fantasy VII. You don't take out Ocarina of Time. You don't do anything special with
eras.
You
take out Ocarina of Time.
Go ahead, take it out. Whatever. Take it out. Just have it right there, just huge on the banner, like for the entire 2 months, then I'll be happy, you know? But, you know, you don't do anything special with, like, systems or eras or anything like that, and you don't add any gimmicks apart from, you know, 12-hour matches, which I think at this point has gone beyond the gimmick, and that's just, you know, our de facto, like, you know, format of choice, yep. 12-hour matches. So just one-on-one 12-hour matches, because like you said, Resident Evil 4 versus Super Metroid is an awesome match. Resident Evil 4 versus Super Metroid versus Metroid Prime is a horrendous match.
Yes. Yep.
You know, so let's just, you know, give us the contest we've been like clamoring for the longest time, and then after we actually get it in its purest and best form, then you can have another like one and screw around the next year or whatever.
Yep. Extra on board with us there?
Oh, absolutely. You guys are totally right. It's long overdue, and it would be a lot of fun. And yeah, I mean, you guys covered it.
Yep. Game of the Decade was fun enough and had close matches all over the place, and now you throw in Chrono Trigger, Mario 3, et cetera, plus Skyrim, Mass Effect 2, all that kind of stuff, and it's like, wow, you know, anything could happen.
Yeah, we have a real, like, a contest, not to say on par with, like, 03 as far as unpredictability, but probably one of our least predictable in a long time.
Yep, I definitely agree there. So, all right, the next thing, SB's choice here with the rollout. He kind of created a Smash Brothers dojo for us, a little spoiler section, and bit by bit he revealed the seeds. It slowly filled out the bracket. Yo, did you think that was cool, or would you rather have just had the bracket all on day one and just immediately gone into predicting?
I thought it was so cool. It's little things like this, like, you know, the rollout with the pictures and everything, and, you know, the battle bracket. Like, SB Allen, he's done some really, really great stuff in the midst of, like, all the, you know, like, the two-year-long layoff and all the, like, missteps that he's had, you know, when it comes to contests. He's almost like the father who'll, like, buy you, like, a really awesome gift, but, like, when he's drunk, he'll beat the shit out of you, you know? So it's like, you don't really know how to feel about your father, you know? It's like, so weird. But right now, I'm kind of up on Dad. I was like, gee, thanks, Dad. This is, like, the best Christmas ever, you know? Because it just made, like, a big game kind of feel. And that's always, you know, I'm probably the biggest contest nerd on the board. That's always how I felt about these contests, especially like back in the day during summer. I always got excited, you know, when I was younger. And it was like, it felt like Link versus Cloud, almost like it was a real thing. And, you know, when you take the time and you like unveil them as if they're like, you know, seeds in like an actual sporting tournament, it's just, you know, it just makes it that much more bigger. It builds up the hype that much more. You get this kind of like slow burn as it crescendos into this, you know, into the final bracket, and everybody's excited, and now it's time to pick. I just thought it was, you know, a very, very nice addition, almost like a little like love letter to the board, because that's the people who actually care about it.
Yep, and he did some more stuff like that we're going to be getting into, but I am on board with Yo here 100%. It was, of course, a little annoying to have to delay this episode for the extra weeks, but but even so, it was just really fun to, like, on Saturday say, oh, 7 o'clock, the new seeds are out, and then check them out and see where everyone fell. And I was having a bunch of fun in the show topic, like predicting who's going to be the five seeds. And overall, my guesses turned out pretty well there. So, Exta, do you agree? Was that a pretty cool week?
You know, I didn't really care about it, to be completely honest. But this could just be me. Most everybody on the board seemed to have a pretty positive reaction to it. I didn't care for it. I had 6 of one, half a dozen of the other. You could have released all of it at once for me, and I would have been just as happy. Of course, I'm also like, I'm like if SB Allen is the abusive dad, I'm like the guy that's onto it. I'm like the son that's caught on, and he's like, okay, well, you're giving me this gift now, but I'm not going to get too excited about it because I know you're going to get wasted and beat the shit out of me some point in the near future. Bacon just does not have a good reputation with me, and he can do all this good, but then the next games contest will end up, he'll like the three-way format
no.
so much. That's what the games contest will be. Like, that's what will happen. Like, he can't just do it all right. He's got to do something to screw it up. Like, even with that, he's got the goofy website design change going on right now that I'm not really a big fan of, too. So, 6 of one, half a dozen the other with me. But he did do some good things with it, which I think you're going to cover next.
Yep, and another thing he did, a new addition, is these character profile pages. And if this were a normal, like, 64-character contest, I'd be like, eh, that's overdoing it. But with all these new characters this year and the big layoff, a lot of people haven't played these games that these characters are from. I think that is a very nice addition and should be very helpful, especially with round one. So many crazy matches. So the other cool thing that SB did is he gave us some Board 8 shoutouts, and one of them is this entire bracket, this entire contest is based around the Noble 9. Our invention from back in the day, the 9 unbeatable characters that won, I think, 106 1v1 matches in a row before the streak was finally snapped last contest. And so those guys all were rewarded with number one seeds. Then he did two other cool things. The three seeds are not only new characters, but they're also characters that their series were not represented in the bracket at all. And that's pretty cool, because, for instance, he could have put Epona in there, but, of course, Link was already in the bracket, so instead he went with something totally new there. And that kind of revived something from way back in the day as well. We used to call it the three-seed curse. Do you remember that,
Yeah, I think now it would be like more of a three-seed curse if these three seeds actually won, because nobody's taking them to win anything.
Yeah, no chance. I'm looking, nope.
Yeah.
Well,
I don't know. I think that Elizabeth could, you know, be our new Samus. I don't know what you guys think.
Well, there is one three seed that, you know, that has a good shot at doing things.
But
with Rodolph,
for the casual bracket maker, I think they'll still see it as a curse, because they'll be like, how did, if everyone loves Draven, how could he lose to Jack in the first round? Like, who cares about Jack?
Oh,
kind of thing.
I know. The casuals,
so,
the casuals are going to get beat on this contest.
That should be pretty fun. And then my favorite thing of all, he turned the eight seeds into the board eight seeds.
Oh, yes.
And gave us all of the characters that over the years have been most rallied by the board. For instance, going way back with Cats, and then new people this year like Chester, and Epona, who, of course, Harich got that huge rally for. that is really cool. And normally I'm a kind of guy who's like, just respect the total nomination, seed it like that, it'll result in a good bracket. But for changes like this, like these little love letters to Board 8, I think it's just really cool. Exeter, did you like them as much as we did?
Yes, these were the things that he did right, and it's like, it's almost like, well, Board 8, I've been holding out on you and beating you for years and, you know, making you guys all go crazy and turning it, you know, against each other by not having a contest for all this time. So here's your love letter. Here's your, you know, your pat on the head. You know, see, I do care. See, look, I do care. I'm going to my AA meetings once every couple of weeks. You know, see, I love you guys.
I'm sobering up, son, I swear. I'm giving up the hooch for you, son.
But, you know, if I'm going to criticize him, I do have to give him credit for when he does things good, and all of those were really cool. So, fair play.
You were thinking that was pretty neat as well, right?
Oh, especially with the Noble Knight. I mean, yep. I laughed when I saw the eight seeds, and I really laughed when I saw the three seeds. But, you know, when he just – the first thing he did was just, unveil the one seeds, and you could tell that, okay, you know, he knows what we're about. You know, like, he could have made, I don't know which character, like a one seed, probably a Pikachu or whatever, but he kept it to the original nine guys who are kind of like, I mean, if you had to pick a handful of, like, video game faces for Board 8, like, these are the nine guys, mm-hmm. You know? And I know they're not undefeated anymore, but that run of 106-0 is the longest winning streak in sporting history. It beats the UCLA Bruins run in the 70s of, like, I think they had like 86 consecutive wins. Well, Noble Nine like cruised through that no problem, you know. So there are guys, like, the only thing that really rivals this streak is like Undertaker's WrestleMania streak, equally impressive in my eyes.
Hey, you go. Arsenal FC went 49 league matches unbeaten in the English Premier League. That's pretty impressive too.
Fine, I suppose that could be like a distant third, but yeah, I mean, when I saw just the one season, it was Noble Nine. I was like, you know what, Bacon, that was pretty cool, homie. That was pretty nice.
And the other thing he could have done is gotten too cute with this and rig all kinds of things and really fix the bracket. But I like that he gave us these little bonuses, and then for the rest of it, he seemed to take his hands off, because the other 24 seeds all look pretty close to what we've seen in the past, mixing in some rallies and some new games and stuff. So,
did we mention the 27 seeds?
And there is 27 different seeds, yes.
No, I mean, no, the actual 27 seeds, the seed 27 guys, the 27 seeded characters.
Yes.
You know, they are amazing. The bottom seeds.
Oh, yeah, those guys, yeah.
Tank Tingle, Dan Hibiki, Sandbag, Magikarp, come on.
I about shit when I found out Magikarp made the contest.
And it was like, it's the last one too, so I gotta scroll all the way down and then you see it.
Yep, that was pretty nice. Well, and that, was maybe a little bit of rigging, but I doubt any of those guys deserve to get much higher than that anyways. So, yep, I'm fine with that as well. Pretty funny. Okay, moving on. We're going to stay on a positive note here and say, what was your favorite character who made the bracket, or a setup on the bracket that you think is really cool, that made you really happy when you first got your eyes on it? Yo, start us out.
Okay, everybody's going to laugh, but carrots and oats, carrots and oats, carrots and oats all day. I think Epona got an awesome placement. Because, you know, she can be in as many as three matches, and up until she runs into the, you know, the wall that is Solid Snake, her first two matches are both interesting. Because if you're the type of guy who thinks that Link's horse is nothing but a stupid horse and nobody's going to vote for it, then you should probably take Epona to lose to Dr. Morden Solis, which is probably like, what? Why is this a joke?
Keep going.
Dr. Morden Solis, who's probably the best written like video game character from a big game of the past generation.
I love Morden.
Yeah, every
Who is this guy from?
Mass Effect.
The Mass Effect series. Yep. And he's like one of the most popular characters, probably the best, maybe the best written character of the whole series, and I don't think there's a single person who's played Mass Effect who isn't a huge fan of Morden Solis. It is, believe me, if you're going to vote, and I know you're not going to vote for Link's horse, and you seem to be into the, like, you know, the value of the characters, like in terms of, you know, characterization, alliteration, all those things, then you vote for Morden Solis.
I'm going to tell you why I think this is so funny, just because the reaction on that, I have Epona winning two matches, so, you know, there's that. I've come to grips with, you know, Zelda facts and everything, but just, so many angry Mass Effect fans on that day.
Oh man, it's gonna be glorious. Actually, I didn't really think of it. That is.
Are you serious? And then after that, the portal fans, the match after that.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing, because in their second match, assuming Epona wins, which I mean, she's probably got to be the favorite in that first match. She does have to deal with Ike, who is a pretty popular Smash character. Like a few years ago, Ike was in a match with Pikachu, and Ike didn't just lay down to Pikachu. Ike actually did respectably well. So if Ike does well again and gets a good chunk of that Nintendo vote away from Epona, maybe GLaDOS, who I think by now is not just like a joke character, but a pretty established, like, you know, well-liked video game character, you know, maybe she could make it happen. So you've got Epona now in two interesting matches. She could either win too easily if you think, you know, she's going to have a lot of that Zelda strength, or if you don't think she's going to really carry it, she could lose in the first one.
Yep.
And that's why the three-way format's so interesting too. So
in specific cases, it's interesting. In other cases, it kind of ruins matches. But we'll get into that. So Exta, what was the cool thing that you loved about the bracket?
In 2003. Link was defeated by Cloud Strife in a one-on-one match in the character battle.
Yes.
It was the last time that this would happen in a one-on-one match, barring Jay Solano or, you know, any shenanigans like that. Since then, those of us with taste have been clamoring for a legitimate loss by Link. That clearly isn't going to happen, but for those of us who look up to the sky in hope of seeing the light cracking through those dark Hylian clouds, for those of us that dream and clamor for the day that Link loses in the final, we have been given that ray of light. Whether it be Cloud Strife or Solid Snake, he will have Mario sucking some amount of votes away from him. Link is going to have a red-capped albatross pulling him down. And maybe, hope with me for a second, guys. Maybe Solid Snake with Metal Gear Solid 5 hype. Maybe he can latch onto that. And maybe we can see Solid Snake winning a GameFAQs contest. Are you with me? I have a dream.
I mean, I like Snake, but wait, there are actually people who want Link to lose?
I know.
Unbelievable.
Exley, you're pulling my leg, right? I mean,
I hate you so much, yo. I know 13 is out there listening to me, and he's going, yes, Exta, yes. Okay, I have Snake over Cloud now, but does it really matter? Does it matter if it's Cloud? Does it matter if it's Snake? You know, Sephiroth, you know, somebody, L Block, somebody, get into that match with Mario there. It's probably going to be Snake. Please win. Please do it. That's my favorite placement because Bacon knew that there was one chance, you know, and that was it. And he set it up for us. So thank you.
Extremely rare case that we have an actual debate on a championship match. It's happened a couple times. Game of the Decade was up for debate. And of course, the series contest between Final Fantasy and Zelda. A lot of debate on that one. But aside from that, it's quite rare. So, yes, that is definitely cool to have in the bracket. And good work by SB to set that up. Now, yeah. My favorite thing is also kind of a sad thing. As you heard me on the last episode, I was promoting Meat Boy, saying this guy's got a real chance. Then if you saw any of my posts for the last 3 months, I was supporting Lee Everett from The Walking Dead last year's Game of the Year. And who are they matching up with but my main in both Melee and Brawl, Mr. Game & Watch.
Really?
So another of my favorite characters, all three of them got stuck in the same match. It's a little sad that two of them are getting knocked out right away, but debatable match.
That means one of them wins. That means one of them wins.
Yep, at least one of them will get to move on, and it should be pretty interesting. You know, we got a game that a ton of people have played now in Walking Dead. It's been on so many sales. Of course, you don't doubt the power of Smash Brothers, and then Meat Boy. Again, has a huge fan base. So
I was gonna say, NG, this site voted for Master Hand over Kuja, so don't get your hopes up if you're voting. If you're picking
literally a hand.
And also, they did support a sandbag for a while there. So,
oh yeah,
who knows?
Dude, that sandbag. You know, that was before I played Chrono Trigger. So now that I rethink about
it, hold on one second. Yeah. I need to switch to pick Otacon over Magus right now.
Lost to a sandbag.
Oh man. Yeah. Had I played Chrono Trigger back then, I probably would have been pretty pissed. But I remember at the time of the match, I was having like the time of my life.
Because
I called it. Yep. I called it too.
Yep. All right. So now we do have to get a little more negative. What is the wasted opportunity or the bad placement that you see in this bracket that makes you a little bit upset that SB didn't take the time to fix it up a little bit and not have these ruined matches, yo?
Well, as a huge fan of this series, you know, probably one of the biggest on Board 8, aside from, you know, our good friend FF Dragon, I am a bit disappointed with the placement of all of the Resident Evil characters, because there are four of them in the bracket, and almost all of them got put in either a terrible match or, like, terribly predictable matches. You know, Leon Kennedy and Albert Wesker, you know, they're in the same match together. That throws Wesker out right away, and Wesker's a guy, you know, with the potential to win a match. You know, Wesker has a cool design, very liked character, and so you're just discarding him right away. And then Leon, he's going to win, like, that match and another match against weak guys before running into the Noble Nine. So he gets two wins, which is good, but he's wasted because you could use Leon against Dante. You could use him against, you know, like maybe somebody like a Squirtle or a Pikachu, somebody like that. And Leon can make interesting stuff, but he gets like weak guys and then gets fed to the Noble Nine, you know. And one of my favorite characters ever, Jill, she's in a situation almost exactly like last time. She kills fodder, and then she gets fed to the Noble Nine right away. And Jill's a solid mid-carder. I would have loved to see Jill against Ezio. You know, I thought that could be a cool match. Or like Jill against Scorpion or Jill against Sub-Zero. All those are really, really good matches. She crushes fodder, and then she gets crushed by the Noble Nine. It's pointless. And really the only ray of sunshine here with regards to Resident Evil is Claire Redfield, who can't win. She's not going to win in her match against Yuna and Master Chief. But, you know, there is that chance that she could actually beat Master Chief for second place and just humiliate him further, you know, continuing the humiliating, embarrassing saga of Master Chief. But even if she does that, it'd be like a laugh and a half, but, you know, it wouldn't do anything for anybody's bracket.
Yeah.
So she's not going anywhere. So it's just, I'm kind of a, you know, I wish she would have done more with, like, the placement of, you know, people from this huge series. It seems like they're all wasted.
Yep. Exta, where are you leaning for disappointment?
Well, this will probably surprise Leon anyway, because, you know, I hate Final Fantasy VIII more than, you know, pretty much everybody. But I actually, it's like where the thing where he said, you know, Bacon shows a little bit of, you know, savvy. Like, he knows how the contest works, but then it's like, well, then he completely ruins the two Final Fantasy VIII characters in Cypher and Rinoa by throwing other Final Fantasy characters into the match with them. It's like, what's even the point of having them there if you're not only going to ruin them, you're going to make it so we can't even get a readout on them. It's just things like that that say, well, he doesn't, you know, really know how LFF works. He doesn't really know how the contest works. And I didn't think of this before, but he also set up a pretty cut and dry path for Frog. And I was really hoping, you know, I hope for every contest to have some Frog shenanigans. And there probably won't be that this time. It's pretty straight up win one and then done. So just Bacon showing that he might have savvy and then completely defeating that with his weak placement of the FF8 characters. Wolf and Fox are another example of that.
Yep.
And then abandoning Frog. So those are my least favorite things.
Mine is along the same lines, and it's down at the bottom of the bracket, Division 9. Let me tell you a sad story. There once was a GameFAQs character who made his debut, and he held Sonic to 52% of the vote. Gave the Noble 9 a serious scare back in the day. This character is named Zero. What has happened to the poor guy since then? Three times he's been fed to Mega Man with almost nothing else that could happen to him. And this year it happens again. He gets, he'll easily win his first match, and then in the next match it looks like it's going to be weighted companion cube and the question block. That's an ideal position for him because the two joke characters should technically steal each other's votes, allow him to advance easily. But then who's there in the next match but Mega Man, giving him no chance and making that a total joke of a match late in the contest. Because aside from maybe like Fox and Wolf, there aren't two characters with more in common that are going to do more to hurt each other and allow someone else through. So that is a real shame down in Division 9. What makes up for it is that it gives either Zelda or Charizard a chance to advance pretty far, which is kind of cool. But all right, so now let's get into the bracket, and we're not going to go into it too in-depth this week. We'll save that for next week. Next week we'll especially hit on the round one matches. So we're just going to touch on some of the biggest matches that could happen down the line. But before we get into that, just in case we have any newer listeners listening in with us this week or people who haven't followed the contest super close, we've been talking a lot about how if you put Mega Man and Zero in one match, it kind of wrecks things. And that's because of a factor called LFF, or the leached fan base factor, is what we call it. And in simplest terms, Yo, could you explain what that means in terms of Chrono's bracket, where as we see, he will be almost definitely getting matched up against Magus in round two, and Pikachu will be in that match as well. What effect does LFF play in a scenario like that?
Sure thing. You know, a lot of times in stats, and I guess in this podcast as well, we'll throw out these acronyms. So, you know, it's good that we'll like take a little bit of time and try to explain one of them, and probably the one that's going to matter the most for this contest. LFF is the leeching fan base factor, and it'll only apply to matches where there's more than two entrants, where there's like either three or four or multiple entrants, and it's basically when two of those entrants share a fan base, like for example, Mario and Luigi, Cloud and Sephiroth, Frog and Magus, and you can only vote for one of them, you know, they'll end up hurting each other because the fan base is now, it's split, it's fractured, and another entrant who, you know, who is completely outside that fan base, you know, might, you know, take advantage of that and actually get the win, whereas they might not have got the win in a one-on-one match. You know, for example, in Chrono's division, you were going to have a second round match here with Chrono and Pikachu. Now, if it was just Chrono versus Pikachu, Chrono would very likely win that match. But look at who the third entrant in that match probably is. You know, barring, you know, another spectacular Magus screw-up, it's probably going to be Magus, who is from the same game as Chrono, shares the exact same fan base as Chrono. So you've got Chrono versus Magus versus Pikachu. Two of those characters, you know, share the exact same fan base, and they're going to leech you know, those fan base votes off of each other, and it will allow Pikachu the opportunity to win that match, whereas if he were just fighting, you know, Chrono by himself, he probably wouldn't be able to win that.
He probably wouldn't be able to, but it would be close enough that I think it'd be debatable, and it'd be pretty right. fun to see, and then it would come down to one of those things like, is this a day match? Is this a night mm-hmm. match? Because, like, you know, it could be like Pikachu, okay, it's a day match. The kiddies will be out. Again, it's the summer, so it doesn't matter as much. But all those kind of different things would get thrown in. But instead, with Megasaur, it just ruins the fun of it and makes it so much easier for Pikachu. And really, I think he'd have to blow it on a Master Chief kind of level to not get by Chrono in that specific scenario. And so that's what we mean there. Another factor that we sometimes throw out is STF, and that's the sore thumb factor. And that's basically where if you stand out like a sore thumb versus your competition in a match, it helps you. And we've seen this in the past. It shouldn't be as big a deal as it was in Four Ways. But in Four Ways, for instance, in 2008, Kirby nearly got all the way to the finals because he kept getting matched up against, like, Leon and Dante and Snake, and then in the end he played Snake and Cloud and Seth, and he stood out so much as a cute, bright guy against these mature characters that he kept advancing and putting up huge numbers, and he finished, like, way up there in the X stats as a result. He ended up, 25th out of 128 characters, so... pretty amazing, and something like that could come up as well. So the other bad thing about this bracket is with the LFF, it has a chain effect. So let's take it down to the bottom of Division 6, and there we see Fox and Wolf against Blue. Again, this is, in my opinion, a real shame because Blue Fox could have been pretty cool. Having Wolf there ruins it, so Blue should advance there. Then he only has to beat, like, Nathan Drake. And then it puts us in a situation where we could have Pikachu and Pokemon Trainer Blue against Sora. Now, Sora-Pikachu would have been a fun match, but Exla, explain what happens when Blue is in that match as well.
Well, I mean, Blue makes it impossible for Pikachu to win because he just leeches, you know, whatever Pikachu would have needed to, you know, go full force against Sora. You know, and he takes it away, and Sora's, you know, left sitting pretty, which is disgusting, you know, from a kind-hearted person's perspective.
And it's just kind of a shame because Sora's only test is against Scorpion in round one, which he should be able to get by, but after that, he's against weak characters, and then he gets this ideal matchup against Pikachu, who just had the advantage in the last round. Now he totally loses it, and Sora gets to advance easily. So... sometimes like that, it makes things a little unfair and it makes things less fun than they would have been. But then there's other times where a chain reaction like that can mess up the whole bracket and really ruin your predictions. So it's a give and take, but it would have been nice if SB was a little more aware of that, especially for blatant things like Fox Wolf.
Oh, yeah. That's just egregious right there, that one. That's nuts.
All right. So let's hit on some of the biggest matches that are going to be happening. And for this section, if the viewers at home do not have the bracket pulled up, I would recommend doing that so you can see how things kind of fall. Let's start with a matchup in Division 2. This one is getting a ton of debate. What are you guys doing as a gut reaction for this? It looks like in the third round we're going to have Sonic coming out of the top. Vincent, despite earning a 23 seed, actually gets a very nice matchup and should be able to advance that far, and then coming out of the bottom is probably Bowser. So Sonic Vincent might have been debatable in the first place. Now you got Bowser in there as well. Sonic seems to have a Nintendo support that might hurt him. Yo, what are you thinking there? Could this be what Vincent needs to advance?
I picked Vincent right away. I am not going to go back on that match, and I really am not going to evaluate it any further than I did the moment I looked at the bracket, and I was like, you know what? The matchup is too perfect for Vincent. It's just too perfect for him. Because, you know, Sonic Vincent might be like a 50-50. Bowser Vincent might be pretty darn close to a 50-50. All these guys are about the same. So, it harkens back to what we just talked about, that leeching fan base factor. Now, Sonic isn't officially Nintendo, but at this point, he's pretty much like de facto Nintendo. He's going to, you know, share a fan base with Bowser. And I don't think Bowser is a character that's weak enough that he's just going to lay down for Sonic and give Sonic all of his support. Bowser's still going to have a lot of that Nintendo support leached from Sonic. And I think that is going to give, you know, Vincent, you know, what he needs to win. And I think probably win without too much trouble, because let's face it, against two, like, animated kind of cartoony looking characters, he's also going to stand out like a sore thumb.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
And he's the only character in this, you know, in this bracket or in this matchup with any kind of like square, you know, square RPG connotations and support. So he's pretty much got everything in his favor. That first hour might still look kind of ugly for him, but I think after that first hour, assuming this is a night match or whatever, he's just going to take off.
And that'll be a lot of fun. That could be another one where the more casual fans are howling. How could a 23 seed knock off a 1 and like the most recognizable villain in history, and they're getting knocked off by someone who barely made the bracket? So, Extra, are you thinking you agree there, or are you giving Sonic more credit?
Well, I have Sonic winning the match, but because of what, I mean, my bracket I filled out just got reaction instantly. NG, you had spoke a little bit about maybe Sonic making a resurgence this year, because he's had some quality games, which is something he hadn't seen for quite a while. Nope. So that might help him hold up better. And there's the fact that Final Fantasy VII's a couple more years older, gentlemen. It's not getting any younger. And Vincent is still, you know, he's still a side optional character. So his strength could have waned. And, like, look at that. He barely made the bracket. That said, he is a strong character, and this match is tailor-made for him. Like I said at the beginning, I would just like one match where we see all three characters exchange the lead at one point. I'm hoping this is it. Vincent probably will win.
It's old enough to drive now, right? Final Fantasy VII?
It's old enough to... Yeah.
Drive? Yeah, it's like 16. I think it is.
Oh, man. And he's an optional character.
Yeah.
From a game that's old enough to drive.
So, like, and if Sonic has any sort of resurgence, I think he could still pull this out. I don't think Bowser has any chance of winning, but, you know, we've seen crazier things happen.
Yeah, I think this is our best chance to have all three characters have the lead. Something like Nintendo Power Hour, and Bowser gets out to a good start, and then
Vincent takes the lead.
He falls off. Yeah, Vincent, overnight, like, Europe is crazy about Final Fantasy VII. He goes ahead, and then Sonic in the day. Yep. So that would be really cool. I think this is probably the closest thing to a 50-50 we have in this bracket from my initial gut reaction. Right now, I'm going with Vincent, and part of that's just because it'll be such a huge advantage versus your average bracket maker to be able to say, yeah, he's a 23 seed, but he's got a real shot here. So right now I'm going with that, but I still could be swayed to Sonic. We'll see what happens in the next week. Next one, we did talk about this a little bit, but let's go slightly more in depth with Epona, the horse that could do it all this year. The setup we have GLaDOS should be able to advance out of round one. And then this next one, kind of a wasted opportunity. Ike against Proto Man might have been debatable. Might have been one of those 50-50 things, but now... Dr. Eggman is in there as well. And so now it's like two very similar characters. You got to like Ike's Nintendo advantage there to get him through. If he does, and then Morden gets by, or Epona gets by Morden to advance there. We got GLaDOS, Ike, Epona. In that situation, Extra, would you be eating the carrots, going with this horse to advance to the third round?
Or well, eating the cake.
I'm not. well in. Yeah, I'm taking Epona. There's like, I'm just not convinced by Ike. And, I mean, have you paid attention to the site for the past however long? I mean, it's the one big Zelda character that hasn't got in yet. Ganondorf's respectable. Zelda is respectable. I just don't see how Epona is not going to be respectable. And I just, like, who did you say Ike stood up well against? Pikachu?
Pikachu, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, I guess that's okay, but I don't know. I feel like
That was years ago. I don't trust
GLaDOS's strength enough, and I just feel like Epona's going to be a house of fire, or a barn of fire, as it were.
And one point I'd like to make is that remember in the last contest, Rivalry Rumble, the Pokemon trainer's strength kind of exploded when they got those pictures with Charizard and Blastoise in them.
Yep.
There is a very real possibility that Epona gets pictures with like Link riding her. And then it's all over.
Snake's going down.
Yeah, maybe even Snake has to watch out at that point.
Carrots and oats. Oh no.
Oh man, yeah.
Park, what have you done to our contest?
I originally had GLaDOS in this one. As Yo was saying, he did very well against Pikachu. He actually ended up 30th overall in the stats in 2008 out of 128 characters. So,
This is Ike here.
Yeah.
Okay.
He did very well. The problem is last year he looked good again, but then he totally crumbled against Mario. Mario hung 74 on him. So given that, I think someone who represents the Zelda fan base like Epona should be able to take advantage of that, drive him down far enough to advance here. But what ultimately decided it for me just now was Yo mentioning that picture factor.
Afraid
I can't pick against that.
That's a really good point. Is Board 8 going to be making the match picks that early probably?
Yep,
then
I would.
Oh,
definitely
probably making
so.
Them all.
Yeah.
Okay, then yeah, no chance she doesn't get at least a really cool Ocarina of Time picture, you know.
Yep.
So
yeah. My pictures of Epona are going to be like a close up on Link, and then you're going to get like one strand of Epona's mane. Oh man.
All right. For our next one, let's move to another one that we've touched on a little bit. This is in Division 7, the area that Samus is in. And we talked about this. Well, first of all, let's just touch on the first round match. We have Claire Redfield going up against Master Chief, and also Yuna is in that match. Now, what's weird here is that we've actually seen these two play each other, I think, three times in a row. This was back in 2007, and Master Chief just killed Yuna every time. The thing to remember there is that was his Game Fuel hype. Everyone was excited for Halo 3. He's definitely fallen off since then. And also Microsoft, you know, him being the flagship guy, might not be looking so hot anymore. So given that, Yo, are you leaning more toward Yuna in that first round match?
I picked Yuna immediately. I think she is going to absolutely crush Master Chief. My faith in Master Chief is so diminished by what's happened, you know, to him, to his series, to Microsoft over the past few years, that I think it's more likely that Claire beats him and he finishes in third than he actually wins and advances in the bracket.
Wow.
Really. Despite his only ray of sunshine here is, I think I've looked at it and I think this is probably a day match. And, you know, the two chicks are both nighttime characters, so that might give him some hope. But I think at this point, Yuna is so much stronger. It doesn't even matter. I mean, think about 2010. He lost a fair one-on-one match to Ryu Hayabusa pretty easily. I would take Yuna to beat Ryu Hayabusa, no problem. And this is probably the weakest the Chief has ever looked, because Halo 4 came and went. Nobody cared. And like you said, he is the poster boy of Microsoft. And right now, Microsoft, among hardcore gamers, like the ones who vote on our site, is not a popular company at all.
Yep. All right. So, given that, if it does play out like you were saying, then we get something interesting in the second round. We have Tifa. Now, normally you think, all right, she stomps everybody. But what if there's another Final Fantasy character there in Yuna?
Not just another Final Fantasy character, another Final Fantasy girl. Let's go back to that sore thumb factor there.
Yes, yeah. And they're standing up against the character from the most dominating game of the year in recent memory. And we're, of course, talking about Dragonborn from Skyrim. Exla, would you give the Skyrim character a chance against these two Final Fantasy females?
Like I said, well, I love Yuna and I love Tifa, not like on a Vlado level. Like,
oh, no. Let's not go there.
Don't love her on that level.
Yeah. I saw this initially. I saw Dragonborn, and maybe it had something to do with the fact that I was playing the Skyrim trailer on repeat for, like, the last couple of days. But I was just like, oh, yes, this is perfect. Dragonborn going all the way to round three. I took it immediately. I feel like he's got to have some kind of legit strength. And Tifa and Yuna are going to kill each other. They're and it'll be enough for Dragonborn to sneak out a win. I feel very strongly about that. I picked that immediately because, like, that feels like my Charizard of a few years ago when I took that immediately because I thought, oh, hey, here's a new character we don't know that I think can do really well. And if I get that right, then it's going to be something that not too many people pick. Although I'm starting to think maybe a lot of people are going to be on Dragonborn now.
It might be because if you actually look at the front page of GameFAQs, there's Skyrim sitting at number 2. It's been around for over 900 days now on the charts, and yet it's the one game that has really held up well. Clearly a lot of people are still playing it, still need help with it. So it seems like an ideal situation. Still not decided here. Right now I still have Tifa in my bracket, but I could be talked into putting Dragonborn there. Absolutely. Should be a pretty interesting one. Okay, so one other one in the division below that, Division 8. Now, this is down with Mario. it's kind of weird how this one sets up. We're going to have Squall. Now, he might have to deal with a favorite of this show, Mizno, in the second round.
Oh, man. Why am I the only one who's laughing?
Gotta love it. Gotta love it. But, okay, if let's say he advances there, then we're actually set up with a really weird match here. We have Mario, who ought to be untouchable, but he would have to deal with most likely Pokemon Trainer Red. And then Squall is in there, standing out like a sore thumb. You gotta think that Pokemon holds up well against Mario, against Big Nintendo. It always has in the past. We've seen what these trainers are capable of in the rivalry contest. Yo, are you giving, like me and Leon are, are you giving Squall a real chance at pulling a huge upset and advancing here?
Well, right now I've actually got Mizno in that match against Mario myself, but that's one I haven't really looked at too much. I might go with Squall again. I'm kind of, you know, I'm debating it. So let's just assume, you know, for the sake of this scenario, that Squall's in there. So it's Mario, Squall, and the Pokemon trainer. And you are absolutely right. I mean, in that situation, Squall is going to have every single advantage you could possibly, you know, think of. He's up against Mario getting leeched. Mario's getting leeched by a character, a Nintendo character, who might actually hold up pretty well. You know, he's going to, you know, stand out, you know, big time. And hell, let's just go ahead and say it's a night match too. Let's give Squall every single advantage. It doesn't matter when the stronger guy is that much stronger than you are.
Yep.
In a one-on-one match, Mario kills Squall. And I know we like to say that Squall's a really strong guy. He's like number 8 or number 10 in the strength rankings. He might be. But you know what? Mario might be number 2. He might crush everyone else in the bracket not named Link. And it doesn't matter, like, if he's paired up against a Pokemon trainer. You know, Squall's not going to beat him. It's not even going to be close.
I gotta agree with you, Oblazer, there. I also have Mizno. If Mizno can beat Chrono, he can beat Squall, as far as I'm concerned. Before Leon corrected me, I had thought he was one of the people relishing in my misery as Sephiroth struggled with the glitch a few years ago. But he was actually rooting for Sephiroth. I appreciate the gesture, but I'm still rooting for Mizno to beat Squall because I hate him so much. And I think he's going to do it. And even if he doesn't, like Yo said, give him a night match. Give him Red in the match. Give him freaking Luigi in the match. Mario is still going to win.
Yeah, unfortunately, we don't have a great read on Squall. He keeps running into Snake and getting knocked out, which I don't think is a good matchup for him. Last time we saw him really show his true strength was in 2005, went head-to-head against Vincent in one of the better matches of that season. And then Vincent went on to hang in there really well against Chrono, held him to 55%. So, yeah, he's right up there. It could be one of those where there's just not enough, but I still give Squall a chance just because, as we mentioned, Pokemon just does not fade in the face of Nintendo. And I think, as we talked about a little bit in stats topic, that's mainly because it has a bit of a different fan base coming from the handheld side versus on the console side. Basically, if you go against Mario and your Nintendo, you get destroyed. So yeah. I give him a chance
Pokemon
there.
Those Pokemon Nintendo fans, they're insane. Don't they know, like, the order of things, the natural order of the world? When it's like Link and Mario, you lay down. Don't you know how it goes?
Let me just ask you this, yo, and I mean, we're going to talk about it again later, but if you think Mario's so powerful that he holds up so well against LFF, against Red, or anybody else you throw in there, why are you so convinced he's not going to harm Link to the point where he can lose?
Because Link could, like, SFF Barack Obama, Mikhail Gorbachev, and, like, the Russian space station all in the same match.
Here we go.
It doesn't even matter.
What contest strength is the Gorbachev going to have?
Oh, a lot, man. That mark on his face gives a major standout factor.
Go to the next match.
All right. So I was bashing Division 9 earlier down at the bottom of the bracket, but it does have one thing going for it, and that's a potentially really interesting match. If Lightning can get by Donkey Kong, and she should be able to, because as we mentioned, again, SB kind of screwed up, put Falco in that match out of nowhere. Gives her a big advantage. If she can get to the next level, she has definite sore thumb against Zelda and Charizard. Now, is that a case where, I mean, that's a case really, you could make a case for any of the three. If Lightning is as strong as she looked back in 2010, maybe she could advance with the ideal positioning. Zelda has always been huge in the brackets, but then you got Charizard there as well. This seems like a real toss-up. Yo, which way are you leaning right now?
Oh, Charizard, and I'm not changing that. And I think it's, you know, you could make an argument for Zelda, but I'm going to have to respectfully disagree with you on this one. NG, I don't think Lightning has a realistic chance because, I mean, what happened in 2010 happened before her game was even out. You know, and then it came out and people realized, like, they don't care about it. I don't think anybody actually likes this character. She's just, like, the main from this, you know, from the most recent Final Fantasy game that we're, like, you know, kind of, you know, like, automatically conditioned to like and just, like, put in the bracket. But I don't think anybody actually cares about this person. I don't think she's going to beat Zelda or Charizard. She's gonna get third place, even with all the Nintendo overlap. And it's just going to be a Pokemon Zelda match, and I'm going with Pokemon on this one.
Yeah, I would be less surprised by Donkey Kong beating Lightning than I would with Lightning winning in this match. Lightning's just like, like Zelda and Charizard are two, like, definite contest, you know, legit people now, and she's just not at that level, and she's like a, I don't know, she's like the bronze, she's like the definite bronze medal there between those two. The real fight is between Zelda and Charizard. Although, I don't know, you could make the case for Charizard being the sore thumb there, because both of, you know, if Zelda gets one of her cool Twilight Princess pictures or something like that, and Lightning looks all gritty or whatever, Charizard suddenly stands out as the, you know, the Pokemon. Because he looked all, well, not cute, but he, I don't know, it just looks different.
Yo, how alpha is Charizard going to look in that picture? Holy crap. He's going to look like a boss.
He is.
The more I look at this, the more I do like Charizard there. I think Lightning was likely something like what happened with Master Chief in 2007. People were excited for the new game. It came out. It maybe didn't quite match expectations. Then he fell back down to earth. Probably the same thing happened to Lightning. And then the other thing that worries me about Zelda is she's always looked really good, but when she meets high-level Nintendo, doesn't hold up so well. Samus hung 64% on her in our last contest, where just going by the numbers, you'd think she would have held up a little better. So I'm going Charizard there, and the interesting thing is, as I mentioned, if he can get through there, then it's Mega Man and Zero in the next match, which gives him a chance to advance all the way to the final nine. All right, so two more matches we're going to look at. One of them is in the final nine, and it's in the middle of the bracket. And normally you would pencil in, you say you got Cloud here, and there's not going to be any Seth messing it up for him. He's not going against Mario or Samus. You'd advance him automatically. But what we have is Cloud. It looks like he's going to be getting held back possibly by Sora. And then Solid Snake is in that match as well. Yo, are you thinking that has to be a win for Snake, or do you think Cloud can still pull it out?
I think if I had Sora in my bracket as the clear bronze medalist in that match, I probably would take Snake to win it. But at the moment, I do not. I've got Pikachu in that match. And, you know, with Pikachu there, I've got to give the advantage to Cloud. I think, if anything, you know, Pikachu might, like, Solid Snake might, you know, have a, like, a tiny little bit of the, you know, like, a corner of his fan base might be Nintendo now after Smash. So he's got that tiny little bit of overlap with Nintendo and Pikachu that Cloud doesn't have. Cloud might be, you know, stronger legit anyway. He probably is a tiny bit. So I've got to give him the advantage in my bracket.
The thing that gives me hesitation is just earlier today we did have a final official announcement for Kingdom Hearts 3. Sora, of course, starring in that trailer. And another thing we had just another thing we had just this morning was the official trailer for Metal Gear Solid 5, and Snake is back as the main character there. That looks really good. So it's both those.
It's not Solid Snake. It's Big Boss.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not even, you know, David Hayter anymore, really. So it's like less Snake than it's ever been.
But even so, with all those factors, and then basically nothing helping Cloud out, game just gets older. We still don't have the official remake announcement. I really feel like Snake is in the driver's seat here. I could see him taking advantage of this in a major way and advancing to the final. Extha, are you with me?
Oh, I'm totally with you. You know, Cloud might still be stronger than Snake straight up, but I mean, I feel like Snake's picked up enough steam over the years. He was very close the last time they faced one-on-one. And I feel like there's no reason for him to not have closed a little bit of the ground. When you add Sora to the mix, then it's just the perfect storm for him to win that match and move on to the final there. You know, I love Snake. I see no reason to not go with that this time. It just seems, you know, perfect, like perfect storm for Solid Snake to win that match.
All right, looking good. So
I think I would actually like to make one point here, and it's actually a fairly lengthy one, if you guys will bear with me. I just find it amazing how I don't think any contest in history has had a potential domino effect, you know, as ridiculous as this one does. Because even in four ways, like, you might not be sure who's first or second, but they're probably going to be the two to advance, you know. Whereas in this one, only one person is going to get out of each match, you know. So it could totally change things. And we're just talking about the final nine now and who gets into the very finals, the grand finals, right? And our interpretation of that match, Solid Snake, Cloud, and whoever the third guy is completely changed because Wolf O'Donnell got thrown in Fox's match, because that gives Blue the advantage. Blue goes on. You guys have Blue going on a second time. I have Nathan Drake going on instead. With me having Nathan Drake goes on, then I take Pikachu over Sora. I've got Pikachu in that final nine match. You guys have Sora because you have Blue going on a second time instead of Nathan Drake. Wolf O'Donnell getting in Pokemon Trainer Blue's match could influence the entire rest of the contest, basically.
Yep, all the way down to the final. And you could either say that, or take the chain reaction back even a little bit further and say it all comes down to Magus against Otacon in their first round matchup. If Magus loses there, all of a sudden Chrono's in the driver's seat. He should be able to advance. He should be able to get by Sora based on what we've seen in the past. And then it's Chrono here instead, and that could swing the dynamic in a totally different way. So, yeah, it's like we talked about. In some ways, it's unfair, but in other ways, it makes it unpredictable, and it definitely makes it interesting in terms of what could happen there. All right, final match we're going to talk about it, and it is the Grand Championship. Now, let's say that things worked out like we were talking about. Link, of course, gets in from the top, from the middle section, if it is Snake who's there. And let's just go ahead, benefit of the doubt, and say Mario is the one to advance out of the bottom area. Link, Snake, Mario. Seems like an ideal situation for Snake. Extha, are you going to stick with your initial gut reaction and say Snake wins this contest?
No doubt. Snake gets by Cloud. He's winning the whole thing with Mario there. There will never be a more perfect setup for Link to lose a contest final. It's gotta happen there. If it's ever gonna happen, we'll all be, you know, throwing down Metal Gear quotes all day long. We'll be just hoping, praying for some bit of hope for Link to lose. And Mario's gotta come there. He's gotta do his part. He's gotta lay down, but he's gotta do it with enough dignity that he pulls Link down enough so that Snake can finally do it. He can finally beat Link in the final. Oh, and save us. Save us. Save us, dot Snake.
Now, yo, you were just talking about with some of the other LFF, you're saying it doesn't matter. Like, with Mario, he's just so far ahead of Squall that no one can pull him down far enough. I'm sure you'd normally think the same way about Link, but here's my concern. As we've seen in the last few contests toward the end of the bracket, people are looking for something different. So we've seen Snake advancing. First he got by Seth, all the way back in the Battle Royal. And we were surprised at then. And then he moved up and he actually got by Cloud in more recent years, as we got to the end. Could you see something similar to that where people are saying Link always wins? Here's our one chance. Let's rally behind Snake. Let's get him his first legitimate victory. Well, semi-legitimate.
Time to break the law.
Yo, what are you thinking?
A few points here. You know, can Snake do it? Probably not. I think in that situation, that final three, Cloud's probably got a better chance, because I think at this point, Snake has... Honestly, Brawl was so huge that it probably gave him enough Nintendo ties that Link could just... you know, have his way with that match. So I think Cloud, who is probably a little bit stronger than Snake legitimately and has no Nintendo ties whatsoever, I believe, you know, up until like very recently, he was the only one of the Noble Nine to have never appeared on a Nintendo system, you know, so, you know, I think he'll just have a better chance if somebody's going to do it. But another point, that whole thing at the end about how people are always looking for an upset at the end of a contest, and it's true, but if you look at it and we analyze it, that craziness, that end bracket craziness and upset, you know, tomfoolery or whatever, it's always benefited classic Nintendo.
Yep.
It benefits the Pokemon trainers. It benefits Majora's Mask. It benefits, you know, Pikachu, Charizard, you name it. They're Nintendo characters. It benefits them. So I don't think they're going to be like, oh, let's go for something crazy, Cloud Strife. You know, it's just, that's not the way this site operates. It just has this intrinsic hatred of Final Fantasy VII. So in that sense, maybe Snake is benefited a little bit because he might get a little bit more of like an end contest boost. Mm-hmm. But you know what? One more point. Like, this guy's series did get, you know, humiliated by Shadow of the Colossus, you know, a couple years ago. I don't think the Snake of 2013 is, you know, the same animal as the Snake of 2008, who was, and 2006 and 2007, who was writing Brawl like nobody else wrote it.
Well, say it is Cloud then. Say it is Cloud. What's to say that, okay, recently, hasn't Mario held up better against Link than ever before the last few times he's gotten fed to him?
It's actually, I think in 2010 it was probably actually worse than usual.
But it wasn't a total killing, though. It's not like it's become lopsided. It's been pretty steady all the way back to 2002.
I think in 2010 it was almost 65-35. Like, it got pretty like, okay, that was kind of, you know, that was kind of gross. So I think if it's 65-35 legit, if he needed to in the final, Link could probably triple him. Link could probably bust the triple. Like, he would drag Mario down that far. Like, nobody is as, you know, mechanical with their voting strategy as Nintendo fans. And I don't think I just don't think they're gonna let Link lose that one. You know, and when you get down to the point where Link is SFFing Mario that badly, which he probably has the power to do and which Nintendo fans can probably make happen, then, like, the people who are voting for Mario, you know, we've discussed this in the past before, too, this, like, weird mechanism of the hardcore vote. Like, they're probably such hardcore Mario fans that who knows who they would have voted for if Mario had not been in the match. They might be voting for Cloud, you know? Like, yeah. Link could hurt Mario to that scary of an extent, I think. So So sorry to burst everyone's bubble. I don't see Link losing this.
Yeah, looking at it here, in 2003, Link won. It was about 62%. He pushed that up to 64 in our most recent contest. So he's getting better at pushing Mario down. And in a scenario like this, I think he pushes him down even further. The thing that really makes me waver, in my initial gut reaction, I did have Snake here because I said such an ideal situation. You got to take it. But as I think about it more and more, what gives me pause is Majora's Mask. Just coming out of nowhere, we thought it was, well, I don't know, the fourth or fifth maybe in the game of the decade. We had all these other games ahead of it, and then it came down to it, and it's like, this is our one chance to get a precious win for the Legend of Zelda series.
It's never once before. Let's do it, guys.
So this site is, yeah, you know, it's got to beat FFX. It's got to beat Brawl, blah, blah, blah. I can't really – I mean, I could still see it, but in my bracket now, after thinking it over, I am switching over to Link. But I'm still giving Snake or Cloud a definite chance.
Yeah, I think, you know what, you probably could make – honestly, like, I think make a better argument for Cloud in that final. But even him, I would give him, like, you know, not a great shot.
Honestly, at that point, I don't care who it is. One of them. One of them has got to do it to save the contest.
What if it was Dark Link?
Then I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be on a podcast talking about a contest where the final was Link versus. You know what? And I thought of this earlier. Where is Epona at in the bracket? Could she end up in the final if she got Link picks? No, I don't think so.
Best final ever. Link versus Dark Link versus Everett.
Epona could end up in the final, yeah. If she gets a Link pick and beats Snake, and then she gets another Link pick and beats Cloud, who's being Sorred, then the final is Link versus Epona versus Mario. Then maybe Mario has a chance if you have Link, then Epona with Link, and then Mario.
That would be that'd have to be huge. I mean... The one thing I think it definitely helped more, because again, sore thumb and all that, but it's such a big gap to make up. Even that would be.
Might honestly be, X, though, your best bet for getting Link to lose. That if Link's horse actually makes the final, the ridiculousness of the situation would kind of hit everyone in the face at the same time, and they might all vote for Mario.
There we go. Okay, we've got another out. All right, save us, horse.
It'd be one of those issues where, like, L Block, and he had that huge run, and then he got by Link. And then, in the bonus poll, everyone was so sick of him that there was actually a rally against the rally, you know, the first ever anti-rally. And then, all of a sudden, the question block destroyed L Block just after it had knocked out Link easily. And if Epona actually got a rally and made a huge run, I could see people getting so sick of it, thinking it's so ridiculous that they'd go with whatever that third option was. Sure.
Because I actually remember that match against the question mark block. The L block started off winning against the question mark block, and then the question block came back and destroyed it.
Yep, because everyone was that was actually the most popular match in history, was the big final with Link and L Block, and almost 200,000 votes. I mean, how insane does that sound these days?
Oh my God.
So it was like the entire internet was on board with this and they were aware of it, but so many thousands of them were tuning in every week to vote against, or every day toward the end there, to vote against L Block. Anything else they were saying. And so they got the chance in the bonus poll and it actually got killed. So.
Yeah, you know, I don't remember that bonus poll because I was too busy getting drunk and partying in my celebration over Link losing, so.
Very understandable. Okay. So overall, just to wrap it up, what would you guys say your hype level is after looking over this bracket, seeing all the cool little gifts SB threw our way? How excited are you for Character Battle 9? Yo, start us off.
I mean, I can't say my hype level's at a 10. The only way at this point I think you're going to make my hype level a 10 is if you bring in Darth Vader, you bring in the Joker, you bring in Batman. We've gone over this, I don't know how many dozens and hundreds of times, Edgy, but I've got to mention it one more time. You know, if you want the 10, SB Allen, Pops, you know, Daddy-O, you got to give us that. But I'm pretty hyped for this contest. I mean, it's a new format. You know, we've got a lot of craziness that can go on. It's a summer contest. For some reason, I just feel very, very good and excited about that. And so I'm going to say my hype level's at a solid, like, 8. I'm pretty excited.
Yep. I agree with you 100%. The only thing that could probably be a 10 for me anymore would be all fictional. You get Batman in there, Homer Simpson, you know, these classics who we've been with all our lives. Could they beat someone like a Mario in a cloud, et cetera, et cetera? We've talked that to death. That'd be crazy. And, of course, the game contest, hopefully next year, hopefully 1v1, hopefully not mixed brackets. That's an absolute 10 as well. This couldn't ever get quite that high, but it's still cool, and it still helped that it's been so long. We're desperate for a contest, and this should be a pretty good one. I'd say I'm right up there around an 8 as well. Extra?
Yeah, I agree with you guys. I don't see how, if you're, you know, one of us that, you know, lives and dies by these things, how your hype level couldn't be at least up to the 8-9 level. Yeah, it's not a perfect contest, but it's, you know, like Yo said, we've literally got the final being decided by, you know, basically by a first-round placement of a couple innocuous characters. And, you know, it's unpredictable. It's going to be fun. There's going to be rallying. There's going to be the chance that Link might lose in the final. So I am extremely hyped. And plus, it gives me something to talk about on the board other than feminists. And, you know, who doesn't love that? You know, who won't love that?
Yeah, and it has been great for the board. Oh, one quick shout-out while we're talking board. Definitely check out the great work that Zen has been doing. And talking about Zen of Thunder, our resident picksmith extraordinaire. He did some really cool polls with your favorite seed, and those got like 250 votes. Shows yeah. how big the board is, how hyped people are right now. And now he's doing a topic where you can request a specific match pick, and he'll set it up for you with your conditions that you're asking for, that kind of thing. So check that out, and hopefully we can get him on the show later this year to talk about some of the pick stuff, because I think that is another really fun element that adds a lot, is us actually setting up what's going to be seen by 100,000 people on the main board.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, so that wraps up for this week. Be sure to join us next week. We're going to go in-depth, more of a deep dive into round one, give you some advice, and we'll go all the way down to who we think will take third place in those matches, just in case SB does go with my suggestion for the perfect picks in the battle bracket. So until next time, thanks, Yo. Pleasure as always.
Fun times, amigo.
And Extra, like I said, one of our great guests, and you pulled it off again tonight. Great job.
Yeah, you know, glad to be back. Glad to be back. It's just glad to have another contest.
All right, so join us again next week. Should be a fun one. Until then, this is Endgamer in the Show, signing out.